ago, I spoke about John 9 and highlighted how Jesus showed compassion to the man born blind. Stuart last week shared how God is with us in our trials and works for the good of those who are in trials. Amongst other things, he highlighted that God engages with us. God seeks to give us greater insight into the fullness of God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and a deeper understanding of ourselves. Is this on, Mike? Anyway, he had a great phrase. Trials take us through an uncomfortable season of accelerated revelation, leading to significant transformation. I love that phrase. It kind of, I don't know where he got it from, it was his or whatever, but it was really nice. Before that, Lindsay shared what it means to be a place and people of refuge, reflecting. Doesn't seem to be working from here. All right. We'll get there. What it's like to be a people of refuge, reflecting and pointing people to the one who is the ultimate refuge. You see, as we share these stories, people look in. We think, wow, that's amazing. But as we share these stories, other people who don't know the Lord also think it's amazing. They may not say it, but they do. Because it's something outside of the normal. That's why we need to share our stories. Lindsay shared this scripture. But your royal love, Lord, extends to the skies. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. Your righteousness is like the strongest mountains. Your justice is like the deepest sea. Lord, you save both humans and animals. Your faithful love is priceless, God. Humanity finds refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the bounty of your house. You let them drink from your river of pure joy. Within you is the spirit of life. In your light, we see light. Before that, Bev encouraged us about how the father of the prodigal son invited both sons to enter into experiencing joy and love. Often we can think of the prodigal, but there was the father invited both of them. This is up on Goring, that area up on the hill overlooking. There was frost in the morning on one time as I was going off to my parents. Bev highlighted that God, the ultimate father, wants everyone to experience God's love. She also encouraged us to carry on creating gateways. Do you remember? So people can enter and experience God's love. We got someone coming up tomorrow from the Congregational Federation, and I'll ask you to pray for that. They are coming up because of the gateways that we have being released. Myriad of different gateways are being released for people to engage with Jesus, and they want to know a little bit more about that, and it's a possibility that we could get a grant from it. These various words that have come, they reflect something of what the leadership team and I believe are specifically given for this church. You may remember right at the start, and I'm reflecting on some of the stuff that's happened end of January, beginning of February, to encourage us. And God's given us words, and the words are what we as a community can explore. We can rest, we can lean into them, and we can engage with the ways of Jesus, because we believe Jesus wants to speak to us in these scriptures. We can ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us understand, fully understand the stability of God's love. As I was contemplating resting, what it looks like to rest on the stability, the sure foundation. I found this little clip. Some of you may have seen it. About resting on something that is sure. Can you pop it up, Mike? Possible? It's on the web already. There we are. Have you seen this one?
Oh, ูกเอาขาจับมันยืนดิน้ำนึกมากทุกคนจับมันยืนสิจับมันจับมันจับมันยืนจับมันยืนกระน้ำแค่นี้กูเบื่อ
You know, sometimes it can be like that with us and God, can't it? Oh! And God says, I've got this. Rest on me. Rest on me. The prodigal son, Jesus says, all are welcome. Talk about the healing of the man born blind. These were scriptures, remember, that had come along from our time away. Jesus is more concerned with the person than with the structure they are part of. That man born blind was healed. But then there was a whole discussion. God desires to restore people into relationships. The weeping over Jerusalem, Jesus had deep compassion and love for people. His heart was torn. 1 Corinthians, communion and community. Jesus wants people to live in a healthy communion and community with him and with those who follow his ways. There are folks here who weren't here necessarily at the start of our very start of the journey with this church, and the church went through an intense time of reflecting and meditating on what we felt were the hopes and dreams that God had put in people's hearts, and you've seen some of the gateways coming out of that. One of the earliest things that was chatted about was the word love, how we receive and how we give love. Some of the words that were on there, we made a kind of little cross of it. There was forgiveness, giving, tolerance, patience, compassion, a big heart, kindness, humility, caring, support, sharing, welcoming, giving, listening and giving, thinking of others, unqualified and unselfish caring, acceptance, giving time, changing plans for people, giving practical support. There are many words on here. We all felt that these words were actions that should underpin our relationships. And that's what's flowed through this church. We will carry on as a community trying to flow through it. How do you receive love? How do you receive love? The prodigal father was willing to give love, and the humble brother was willing to accept it, but the proud one was not. Yet the father passionately invited them both. There was, we're working on the railway stations of Mumbai. Some of you I may have told this story too, forgive me if I have. And one of my friends was on the railway station, and we were working with street children that had run away. Have any of you seen Slumdog Millionaire? And also the other one, what's the other one that's come out recently? Pardon? Lion, yeah. So those kids were on the railway stations, and some of them, they live on the railway stations. If they haven't been kind of grabbed by other folks, they have little communities on the railway stations. And we were working with children on the railway station. And my friend was walking along, and the team, he's part of the team that works for them. And he's on the railway station, he's walking along, and one of the little kids comes up and grabs his hand. And railway stations are full of people. I mean, way more. It's like a hose pipe of human beings has been turned on when a train stops, and everybody comes off. And if you're not off quick enough, the hose pipe turns from the other end, and everybody comes on. I've seen people literally picked up as they're trying to get off the train and put back on the train. So these kids are there. You've got all these people. This little boy comes and grabs all my friend's hands and takes him to the tea stall. So he wants a tea. So they take him to the tea stall, and my friend starts going into his pocket, and the little boy says, no, 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 no. I'm buying you a cup of tea. My friend had to say, I receive. I receive this act of love. The power was in the giving. The power, rather, from him, from the giving from the boy. The power then was about receiving. It impacted those around. Jesus says, receive from me. Receive. In all your daily lives, receive. Whatever that would look like for you as you journey, the stories that they receive. I spoke about the man who was healed with blindness in John 9. And I'm quickly going to go through these, as it says, and we're just reflecting on them. This is a man who was born blind. He was healed, and yet those around him were more concerned with the structure that he lived in, i.e. the Jewish culture, than with the man himself. We got to be careful, haven't we? That we don't be more concerned with the way we do things, with the way people should fit into the box that we've created, rather than the person themselves. Jesus came and found him when he'd been cast out. His family should have been celebrating, but instead they'd been put into a place of fear. We've got to be careful. Sometimes our words actually encourage and don't give people fear. Words that release. Jesus came and found him. There's a whole list of what happened with the Pharisees, the neighbors. They were confused. They were inquisitive, and it was an opportunity. But they were confused. The family, they were placed in a position of fear, and the authorities were mad, hypocritical, and judgmental. And they cast him out. And sometimes we can look at that and think, okay, he's put him out of the temple. What that meant was he was out of the Jewish society. He could not be part of the Jewish society. Where has he been healed and brought back in with being healed from blindness? Now he could not be part of it. And yet Jesus, what do we read? Went and found him. He said, you are part of my kingdom now. You are part of my kingdom. At the end, there was a kingdom revelation, kind of linked into what Stuart was saying. And Jesus says, I've come to judge those who think they see and make them blind. And those who are blind, I have come to make them see. We need to be very careful about what we think should be the situation, that we have all the answers. I was in Goa, and we were living in Mumbai. We went down for a holiday. And in Goa, on one of the beaches, there's a New Age community called Anjuna. Westerners go down, they rip up their passports and stuff, throw them away, and then they live on the beach. It's getting a bit stronger now. The Indian police are stopping it, but there's a whole community. I'm driving along, and next time I see this guy walking towards me, dreadlocks, young guy, dreadlocks down his back. And I think, oh, part of the New Age community. Oh, dear me, this is going to be a bit of a pain. I'm looking and think, oh, what? I go pick up the key of the room where we as a family are going to be staying. And in walks this guy with his dreadlocks hanging down. And the guy I'm talking to is a kind of a church leader there. He's got these properties that he rents out. So this guy comes over, and he's from Australia. And we start talking. And actually, he was a Christian. Kevin Potter had made a judgment on what he'd seen. But I was wrong. He was working with the OM team. And they were in Anjuna. Rather than Kevin Potter standing out, making judgments, he and his team were in Anjuna. They'd incarnated, living out the gospel. Sometimes we can have difficulty becoming the integrated person God invites us to be if we do not allow the Holy Spirit to transform the person we think we are. Transform the person we think we are. The other scripture that was given was weeping over Jerusalem. Jesus had compassion and love. His heart was torn. Jerusalem in Jesus' day was a city of about 55,000 people. A major feast that could swell to about 100 to 200,000 people. It was full of a variety of people. Some were good, some bad, some confused. Others were being preyed upon by unscrupulous people, and others were abused. It was full of the rich, the powerful, the weak, and the poor. It was full of people with different political ideologies, peacemakers, and violent fundamentalists. It was filled with the proud and the humble. There were markets, businessmen and women, craftsmen, soldiers and prisoners. There was over 500 synagogues in the city. There were Jews, Romans, Gentiles, God followers, families, mums, dads, and children, government structures. Jesus wept over them all. Jesus wept over them all. He then entered the city and actively engaged in living out the truth of the good news of the kingdom from a place of compassion. Jesus asks us to have compassion. deep compassion that's beyond our own human abilities. And that we need to come before the Lord for. We need that deep compassion when we look at the world, because we can get hardened by things that are happening around us. But the Lord wants us to have a heart, a soft heart. We used to have guys who would come and we'd drive them, pastors and various folks, and they'd come, Americans, Australians, Brits, and they'd come, and we'd be driving past the slums. And they're starting to weep. But hey, I'm a macho guy. I'm going to hold that weeping in. I'm not going to... They would hold it back. And you have to say, no, no, no. Weep. You're sensing the Father's heart. You're sensing the Father's heart for this situation. And by sensing it, it helps us to engage in the world. We were involved in Juarez. And there are pastors in Juarez, and this is during the drug violence when lots of people are being killed and murdered. The pastors and their families have incarnated into the slums of Juarez. And they've set up drug rehab schemes. Great drug rehab scheme. That's a good thing. Except when some of the people who are trying to get off drugs belong to a gang or a different gang. And then the other gang can come in with machine guns and machine gun the place. But they've given up their comfort because they want to incarnate, to live out the reality of Jesus. And it doesn't just happen to be on that level. Our son, Ben, 14, we were in one of these colonia gatherings. And our son had, at 14, he got together saved $150, which was a big sum. And he plays the drums, and he was playing the drums in his little worship band. And there was a lady who's... son had been taken off her, and Ben was around the same age, and they connected, and we were to pray for them. And as we're going away, and she was immensely poor, and as we're leaving, we asked Ben about his savings for some reason. He said, "I don't have it." I said, "What have you done?" He said, "I gave it to the lady." Just gave it. We need to cultivate this deep heart of compassion. I was his dad. This 14-year-old boy in that action taught me so much about the kingdom. In that action. The last one. Communion. 1 Corinthians. Jesus wants people to be in healthy communion and community with him and with those who follow his way. Jesus invites everybody to come, celebrate, be part of his joy. Everybody to come. Paul, in this passage, is passing on what he'd received from the Lord. The people at this time weren't living well. Some were going hungry, some were gorging themselves. And Jesus wants us to live in a healthy community. So Paul says, you know, acting with love, humility, and compassion to each other. Share community. Communion. We share it here. But we got to know in the New Testament, it was shared in homes. Fancy having a meal in your home? Using compassionate loaf bread. And as you sit and chat, you explain where compassionate loaf bread came from. Talk about the reality of Jesus. And instead of having your grace at the start, have your grace at the end. Take your wine. Thank everybody. Celebrate the Lord. There's ways in which we can remember the Lord with our friends and families. There's actually things out there called dinner church. It's where people come into people's homes and they meet together, bring friends in, and they have a meal together around the table. I remember the first time I had communion. It was actually in the Nilgiri Hills in India. I was 24. And I used to teach snow and ice climbing, and we were climbing in the Nilgiri Hills. It's about, not very high, it's about 9,000 feet. And we were there. And then this Canadian guy said, "We're going to have communion." And my friend, who I'd become a Christian in their church, had great trouble with that because I hadn't been baptized. He was more interested in the structure than in this amazing relationship halfway up a hill, taking in the glory of God. Now, he was able to go through transformation and change his mind. But the initial reaction was, ooh, that's not right. Do we have initial reactions? Ooh, that's not right. Ooh, I don't know about that. We heard the Lord does more than we ask or imagine. We are the ones who need to be transformed and renewed. I've gone through these scriptures, and you'll go into Easter. I'd encourage you to look back over them, to mull them. The recordings should be up next week of the past that has gone. I'm afraid mine on John 9 won't be, but Stuart's will be, Lindsay's will be, Bev's will be. The guy who's doing it for us, being half term and various other things, and we've had issues with the recording, but it should be up there next week. But Jesus invites everyone to come and celebrate, to be part of the joy, to be part of the story, to pour out his love and stories into your lives. I can promise you, he can create a story in your life that will blow you away as long as you are willing to step into it. And that doesn't mean there won't be trials. The man who was healed, yeah, he was healed, actually, out of the frying pan into the fire. He had more trials, didn't he? But Jesus called him. What does it mean as we engage with these scriptures? Creating gates birthed out of what God has put in our hearts so people can experience God's love. You have all got hopes and dreams. You have all got aspirations. I have heard some of them. Some of them are huge. Some of them are just a gentle one. But the Lord will be in them all. He wants to journey with people. Not feeling that we have all the answers. Oh, I've missed them there. That's He wants to cultivate a heart of compassion for all, especially in the towns, village, workplace that God has put us, and celebrating and welcoming the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants to create times where those who follow the way of Jesus can connect, remember, and reflect. He wants us to weep with people who have a broken heart, not judge them. He wants us to have communion and times of fellowship in our homes as well as the church and in our workplace. We won't have all the answers, but we can introduce our friends to someone who does and his love that he has for them. We can encourage each other to chase after hopes and dreams that God has put in our hearts. I'm going to ask us just a couple of moments before Jane comes up. What the hopes and dreams that you have? Some of them will be easy, some of them will be hard. The Lord asked us to relocate to another country, to incarnate into a different place. We had to write our wills out for our children because we didn't think we were coming back to the UK or if something had happened to us. But as we tread on that journey, actually, we're back in the UK. We've been to America. It wasn't what we initially thought, but we had to be willing to step into what God had called us to. We had to be willing to step in. Are you willing to journey with people who are not the same as you and not tell them that they're wrong, but actually show them the love of someone who can pour joy into their lives? Are you willing to welcome them into the party just like the prodigal father? Maybe some of the tough ones are we willing to have our hearts broken for the world? Not so that it changes them, but changes us. And then out of that is an outpouring of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Are we willing to create space for ourselves to remember Jesus and then also invite others into those sacred spaces? Because our world is hurting. It's unsure. People desperately want to know that overpowering love of God, which can do more than we ask or imagine. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these scriptures and the words that you have given us over this last month. We don't want to let them go, Lord. We want to chew on them, reflect on them, see how they impact our lives, how they can encourage us to follow the way of Jesus, to live out the way of Jesus, to use all that we are, all that we have, so that people would taste and see how Jesus, how good Jesus is. So be with us. Guide us and lead us, whether in trials and joy, whether in uncertainty or certainty, whether holding on to that rope, Lord, help us put our feet on you. The certainty that there is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I ask for a blessing for my friends here, Father, that this week you would do more than they could ask or imagine. You would, Father, weave into all their lives your story, the story of your kingdom, the story of your grace. Connect them with people, Father, who they may not originally know or be connected with, or deepen relationships that are already there, Father. But in all, I pray your peace, your shalom would flow over them, and you would give them the resources that they need to undertake the task that you have prepared for them. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.